This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be
that in and out. Here's how it works. I promise to keep this pretty short. Tuesdays. Whenever it is, my thoughts turn to the afternoon, which is not right away.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are up at 6, on the buses by 7. I go back to bed usually for another hour or so. It's not right away that I'll think about putting things together, putting things down.
Sure.
Whenever it is, whatever time it is, it's pretty early. Whatever time it is, I think about the fact that it's Tuesday and we have reverse AFC power rankings. Like, my day is set. Everything else is just going to fall together. Right. It's like the whole thing is done.
Right.
The whole thing is done.
I know what you mean. I do feel like this is more true, I think, when, well, for me, when you're not here. I don't know if it's true for you when I'm not here, but like this segment is the whole thing.
It's the hardest. It's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing. Just get out of the gate, get something that's engaging,
right,
and just woof. Yeah, and next thing you know, sales on, and then it's 6 over. O'clock or 6, like, all right, we made it.
Exactly.
We did a show.
Totally the same for me.
Right. Just want to, what do I have at 3? Do I have something good at 3?
There was a game Monday night. I spent all day yesterday thinking we would do power rankings.
I came in and ruined everything.
No, it was fine because I never felt any stress. You know, I just knew the rest of the day we would talk about the game. I made a bunch of notes, and that was the plan. So then you're like, huh, I wasn't expecting to do power rankings. You get rolling on the game. I go with you. And we don't do power rankings. We push them to Wednesday. Not until an hour ago today did I ever think about power rankings. I didn't remember that because it wasn't Tuesday anymore.
Yep.
So I never remembered that we had postponed them. And a few different times today, I'm like, I better sit down. Then I had to take my daughter to a dentist appointment.
3 o'clock's coming.
Then I had to do Matthew Collar for an hour. You know, you got to eat everything. And it was like a little bit sweaty. Like, oh, boy, I heard the morning show today. They had a good idea. I wouldn't usually prefer to lead with one of their ideas, but I do want to mention it. So then it was 2 or 2:15 or somebody tweeted it. Somebody tweeted our tweet from yesterday. Like, we're doing it on Wednesday. Like, that's right. So yesterday morning was a breeze, but it didn't end up manifesting. This morning was a little bit more, okay, you know, sit down, get your head together, figure out a plan, and then turns out I didn't need to worry about it. I do have something fun for you at 5, though.
Oh, I look forward to that.
The idea that I did come up with, we will save.
In lieu of reverse AFC power rankings, which, of course, it's time for.
Which we will do right now. Reverse AFC power rankings, everybody. Brought to you, powered even by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. What I'm not, though, I guess, is really sort of locked in on this. Because, again, kind of was thinking we weren't doing them.
I see.
Now I will lock in.
This is where I whisper that I didn't think about the reverse AFC power ranks until I saw you get up and get the sheet off the wall.
Okay, well.
I also was not thinking about
on a whim then.
This today.
Just going to have to wing it.
It's okay. It's not. I don't think it's hard.
This exercise?
No. I mean, it's just some teams. We've watched them play, most of them anyway, some, if not all.
Yes, yes.
Of their games. I think Jacksonville has to be 16. I think they're circling the drain. They are. Nobody got fired yesterday, right? I think we'd know that by now if someone was getting fired. Although, yeah, I suppose it was a late night Monday. They traveled. Maybe yesterday was a low key day for them, but I don't know, man. I just think that is off the rails. The quarterback looks broken. The relationship between the coach and the quarterback might be broken, and they might have to just start over.
I'll say Raiders still. There's something very Raiders about a big, shocking road win and then getting destroyed by the Panthers the next week. Like, that isn't that the game where you sort of affirmation, like, you know you're actually not a joke, and then Andy Dalton walks in and just takes you apart?
Torches you. Yeah.
So I think you make a good point. I think Jacksonville has a chance. I did kind of think it would start Monday, and it didn't at all. I think Jacksonville has a chance to get right, not be great, but be okay. And I don't really see that as a possibility for the Raiders. I think they're just sort of wasting this year.
I think the Raiders are wasting this year. It is objectively funny that Andy Dalton goes in Carolina all of a sudden magically is not bad, looked pretty good. He was the first quarterback of the year to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jacksonville, though, like, there is a special place in hell for those who ruined prestigious quarterbacks coming out of college like Lawrence. It was not a mirage. He was that good in college. And I think Doug Peterson mentioned, too, like, in the postgame, like, he, not outright thinking about benching him, but they're not that confident on it. Like, the Raiders at least can, like, have some hope in, like, well, our rookie quarterback's not here. We don't have a young guy. We're rolling out Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Jacksonville's going, we're in year 4 of Trevor Lawrence, and I've got Matt Miller tweeting about, well, if they get the number one pick, they might want to take a tackle out of Texas. That's, you're in bad at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've been outvoted here.
That's fine.
Yeah.
15.
The Raiders.
I'll go with Raiders there.
14.
You could have, like, I would not have pushed back if Zach had said Raiders for 16 either, really, because it would have been
over.
Yeah, right. You make a good point about them, just the air coming out so quickly for them after the big win in Baltimore the week before. All right.
The process can always be different, and I'm probably guilty of changing mine, like, every week or two, but end of the season, Jacksonville's in a way better position than the Raiders, I think.
They'll at least have that quarterback. I mean, it we're not, until they change the coach and that doesn't work, because I think that almost, if this season ends up being unrecoverable for them, they will have to change the coach. The quarterback is not going anywhere. The commitment there is so massive, and it just started. So, right, like, this year isn't even the first year of that new deal, is it? Like, I think that's the way that works. Like, so see if that can salvage him, and therefore you'll be kind of okay then.
I don't think he's that bad, but it was a bad night.
Yeah. I just think the signs are, like, I think his mechanics look like they're all over the place. He just looks like he needs an offseason with a team of people working on him, is what he looks like.
They should be able to afford that.
Yeah.
14.
New England. Week 1 was fun, but they're still not very talented.
Okay. 13.
Tennessee.
At Miami, Monday night. Know the line?
I do not.
Guess.
Tennessee at Miami. Well, this is a hard one.
The bad teams are the harder ones.
You're right. I'm going to say Miami minus 2.
1. Very good. Very good. 12. Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
The odds makers have spoken that they and the Titans are considered very evenly
right.
matched.
That's right. Thank you. That was a very good lead-in.
11. Denver.
Denver?
No. Cleveland?
I was thinking about Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about Cleveland.
They're going to make a switch soon, right? Like, I mean, they have to. I like Cleveland here.
Okay.
But you got it. That roster is talented. But now, I mean, Garrett's got three injuries, which right. that feels unrealistic.
I think the clock is ticking on him just shutting down.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know, maybe they'll try to stave that off by making the change that needs to happen at quarterback, try to keep him sort of engaged.
Winston feels like the perfect guy. Like, I mean, yeah. he may say some wacky stuff in a pregame huddle, but, like, if anything, at least teammates will be talking about it. I just
yeah. I like something. This is fairly somewhat obvious, but I like the point Pat Daugherty made at RotoWorld. He said, the thing about the Browns and this dilemma they might think they have with Watson is they have been to the other side. He got hurt last year, and they threw in Joe Flacco and won games and threw for yards and scored points and went to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, they know that it doesn't take that much necessarily to get good, and they've also just seen the Panthers do something
right, they just
maybe
watched
similar.
Andy Dalton do it, right.
So it's really a question of whether they want to suck up the money and sort of the disgrace
right,
of the whole thing.
I got to think, if he's as healthy as he can be right now, Watson, and it's going like it's going, once you pull the pin on that grenade, I don't think you're putting it back in.
I think Bryce Young can go back in.
Yeah.
I don't know about Watson.
That's what I'm saying.
He can't throw.
Right. And so if you, again, with him assumed healthy or as healthy as you're going to get him anyway, in other words, like sitting out for 6 weeks isn't going to improve his health, then once you pull him, you're saying, okay, we're going to have to throw ourselves on this dead money eventually, and we're just, we're done. It's over. And I could understand them wanting to, like, wait as long as humanly possible on that, because it's ridiculous the amount of money that's sitting out there.
10. Colts?
Yes. You read my mind.
9. I think it's got to be L.A. I'm the Pittsburgh guy here. I'm the captain of the Pittsburgh Stinks.
Hold on. Did we put Cleveland instead of Denver?
Oh, we haven't. You're right.
Denver's still on the board.
We got to circle back to Denver here.
Okay, I'm glad you remembered. Good. All right. So Denver.
Yeah.
9.
It's still really good for Denver.
Yeah, it is.
8. Then I would say has to be L.A. because as the captain of the the captain of the Pittsburgh Stinks League, they did beat the Chargers, and I know the Chargers have Justin Herbert, but still.
Both their tackles are hurt, too. I mean,
and he's hurt.
He can't.
He had to leave that game. I mean, that could be a thing. If they try to keep trotting him out there, he might be leaving games and potentially even hurt it to the point where he can't go. If he's not there already, even. So, I mean, that's a big blow. So, fine. Chargers. Yep.
7. We're into the playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati. I love Burrow. I love Chase. That defense is offensive. They were nearly perfect on offense.
It is almost
Washington.
A little stunning that they're 7th. We haven't gotten to them already, but
I think that is the power, though, of Burrow and Chase. Like, you yeah. know they have the talent. They're just not winning games. And at some point, it is kind of like, all right, I mean, you are what you are. You probably at this point are looking at not making the playoffs.
I think it's right. Man. 6. Steelers.
Pittsburgh. I love them so much.
Do you not kind of want them to keep winning because it's funny?
Yes. Yes.
100%.
Like, we're the Bills, the one seed, the playoffs, we're on our way here. And what if the Steelers, like, it's a 5X version of that Titans team that won the one seed.
Right.
The 13 seconds.
If they
year.
Somehow go 14-3, it will be one of the most hilarious things that's ever happened. And they will lose in the divisional round to whoever
by
goes 30. In there to play them.
Right.
I need that to happen. I need that to happen. Like, Mike, you brought up, like, it was a joke, but unironically, I really love the idea of both the Bills and the Steelers going
17-0.
That is poetic. I love that.
Dunno. I wonder what it would mean to the rest of the conference. Like, would the third place team have 10 wins? You know how, like, the AL Central, I looked 2 days ago, every team has a winning record except one. And that team is 37-120. So That's, you know, like 17-0, 17-0, 9-8, 9-8, 9-8, 9-8, 8-9, 8-9, 8-9, 5-12, 4-13. That would be the conference.
Yeah, those losses have to go somewhere. If you've got two teams that are 34-0, you're gonna need some other teams are gonna incur some losses. That's right.
Five. Houston.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Four.
I feel gross here, but the Jets. They don't do much on offense. I think bad coaching is gonna get them got pretty soon.
Yeah,
here.
I think I wanna get to the Jets before the other three teams that are left here.
No argument. Three.
Baltimore.
Has to be.
I think so.
They're getting nothing out of their tight ends. Andrews is like the known commodity. Likely has a great game against Kansas City. He's had three catches for 30 yards the next 2 weeks.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about this week. Like the middle of the field, it is still an area of concern, I think, for the Bills, as great as it's gone here. And Baltimore, I would think, would be nuts not to be getting ready to go to work there. So we'll see about Andrews. Maybe this is a week, Sunday Night Football, where, you know, we get Collinsworth talking about, see, he's fine all along. I don't know. We'll see. But
he is one of the most interesting players in the league right now. Like Kelsey, tight end. This is how I spend my free time. Tight end in fantasy football. Nobody's good. Who's good? Dallas Goedert had a big game. Hurt, by the way, today. It's so cruel. So he had a bit, likely in week one. McBride, okay. Hurt. Laporta, hurt. Kelsey, old? Like, that wouldn't be weird if he just didn't have it anymore.
Especially on the heels of the way last season kind of went. I mean, he turned it on in the playoffs, but Kelsey did not have a really great season last year.
No, but this is really slow of a start. Pitts doesn't really do anything. Engram hurt. Kittle hurt. Njoku hurt. Kincaid doesn't kind of really do much. Like, it's there, but he splits time. And, like, I was saying to my friends in fantasy this morning, like, I'm looking through, just taking stock of my best ball stuff. Like, how am I doing? What's my advance rate? Stuff I just want to see, because it's so many teams that I'm not keeping track of all of them. Sorry to disappoint you. But, you know, I just, this morning I had a little time to go look and see how's it going.
I saw you tweet about this, right? Like, nobody's
beating anything. You.
You're right. That's right.
My highest scoring, one of my highest scoring teams, it's best ball, so you can't make any changes. The tight end room is Kelsey and Njoku. So what is that, like 2 points a week? And I'm in first because nobody else is doing anything either. So it's different from running back, where you pick McCaffrey and somebody, next guy's got Barkley, next guy's got Kamara.
Yeah, it's not like anybody's filling the void at tight end. It's not like there's a guy on some team that you're like, oh, I never saw that guy coming, but even that's not happening.
Hunter Henry had a big week two, nothing in week three. Tyler Conklin had a big week three, nothing in weeks one and two. Zach mentioned likely. That's the whole thing. So Andrews, though, he barely was on the field against Dallas. He's 29. Is he shot? He had, what do they call it, tightrope surgery? Last offseason, he was in a car accident during the summer. Maybe he's not there physically. He's not listed as injured, but maybe he's just like not all the way back. Maybe he's shot. Maybe it's a matchups thing. They blow out Dallas, so they don't need him. I feel like that could go any direction. Yeah. I looked up his games against the Bills today because, like, all right, so what has he done against the Bills? Four games, including playoffs. I think it was 10 for 88 and 0. Including the playoff game.
In four
games in his career against the Bills. He's caught 10 passes. 6 for 60 in the regular season, I know, in three games. One might have been his first game in the league, that blowout. Still, it's not like he's had...
Right.
You look at his games against Indianapolis, they don't play them every year either, and he's just like, oh, 20 catches, 7 touchdowns.
Right.
You know, he can do... I don't know what to expect. I think the matchup, like you said, might not be terrible.
Right.
It's a big relief for the Bills if Kelsey is not, or I'm sorry, Andrews is not Andrews anymore.
Right. I'll be more, honestly, going into the game because of how it's gone so far, I'll be more worried about Likely than I am Andrews. And, you know, maybe I'll regret that because Andrews has certainly been capable against other teams and certainly in other seasons, but Likely feels like the scarier player to me right now.
I think Likely is only good if there is an Andrews that Like what happened in the Chief game, the Chiefs didn't know whether he was shot or anything, and they just completely took him out of the game.
Right.
So that opened likely up. I don't think, like, if that's the Bills' approach to this game defensively, it wouldn't be, because I think Andrews has done so little that they wouldn't. Do you like how much I'm pushing off the drama here for the rest of the list with my Andrews takes? Two.
Kansas City.
You both said it?
It's two this week.
Yeah. I decided to wait to see if I could break a tie. I think I would have put the Bills here.
At one, you mean?
At two.
Oh. Why?
Because they're the champs and they're undefeated.
Yeah.
That's why. I think I would have done that. I wasn't sure, though. I wanted to wait for the room to speak.
I like that
the room to speak.
I respect that they're undefeated and that they're the champs. They have not looked as good as the Bills. And, you know, I know that's it's opponent, you know, what, you know, how good is a win over Jacksonville, however crooked the score is, with the condition they're in. They're first
right
in this thing today. So, you know, fly your flag. The Miami win, Miami is probably going to have a very rough season and, you know, maybe win six or seven games or something, depending on how long Tua is out for. He was there for most of that game. Like, the Bills owned him and that game. His ineptitude is a part of the reason the Bills built the lead they did in the first place. All I'm doing is I'm going a long way to say, like, I don't want to discredit the Miami win because Miami is going to end up with a terrible record.
That's fair. They were favored.
Yeah.
For that game, the Dolphins.
I said it yesterday, and I stand, in, you know, until further notice, and I know that further notice could come as soon as Sunday. The Bills look like the best team in the league right now to me. So, to me, they belong in the first spot.
If Kansas City looks the same and Baltimore wins, are they one?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
They were 0-2. It changes so much. It changes so much.
Depends on what if the Chiefs win again. And the undefeated teams are the Chiefs and, say, the Steelers. I think the Chiefs will probably be back at one myself. But, yeah, we got to see how it all looks.
Right. Reverse power rankings, reverse AFC power rankings, I might say, on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Bills versus Chiefs is a fun comparison right now, as usual. Matt Collar and I talked this morning. I was on his Purple Insider podcast, and we did a couple rounds on Mahomes and Allen. And he's like, I'm in there as a fantasy analyst, and he said, you watch Josh Allen play a game like that, and you just can't not think he's the best. Like, Mahomes just, for everything that he is and has done, where is that game lately, in the last year,
right?
At least for Mahomes, where it's just like, yeah, you're going to lose because I'm here. And the Bills game was, you're going to lose because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, Allen's gift is being able to just completely wreck a game. And, you know, Mahomes is different, right? I mean, he wins all the time.
It's different. It's especially lately different. He's not had those games, but they keep winning. So, you know, it's hard. I certainly don't want to discredit them any more than we are by knocking them out of the top spot in the reverse AFC power rankings. They're still excellent. They're still a huge threat. But right now, style points, I feel like the Bills just look like the better team.
803-0550 for your calls. Bills Jaguars, Bills Ravens, Bills Chiefs. Sal Capaccio at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
offensive player of the week because they played their tails off. And even going back to week two, James was able to win that because of what our own line's doing. So making sure that they're getting love and they're getting the praises, they deserve it because they're playing together. They're playing very well. They're communicating well. It's easy to play quarterback behind these guys right now because of how hard they work and how well they're executing.
Josh Allen, he's right. The Bills' offensive line has been excellent here so far this season. How big a test is Baltimore? Baltimore is always some level of big test. But one interesting aspect of this matchup that's different this year from how it's been, Baltimore was the best team in the league last year, is they're getting thrown all over them. I mean, they have not been good against the pass so far. The Bills were smart. It's exactly right to my heart with it that they threw the ball a lot right away on Monday night because that's where Jacksonville is weak. And they had injuries, too. So
right.
It was very good to see the Bills not just sort of doing their run, you know, happy kind of thing. And, you know, they could have because they might have thought they would have an easier time defensively and just sort of keep it close. But to their credit, they didn't. And look what happened. I don't know. I think it's different on the road. But I think that's the way to attack the Ravens right now, given how their season has started. And so it's a little bit of a softer matchup, I think, for any offense playing them than it's been lately.
Yeah, I'm gonna dig into that a little anyway. Just see how much it's skewed by Dallas going as pass heavy as they did in the back end of that game as they were scrambling to come back. I mean, I would assume Baltimore gave up some sort of gimme yards to try to prevent against giving up a cheap quick score. Because when you got a big lead, that's kind of how you play it. So that can skew it this early in the season, especially. We're only talking about three games, so like one 200 yard half, say, could really throw things out of whack. I don't know if Dallas got to 200 yards in the second half of that game Sunday. I'm just saying, hypothetically, it could skew it.
They did. Like, they rolled it up in the last quarter.
Yeah. So, but look, that was there for them, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't go looking. I'll be really curious to see how the Bills choose to approach their attack in this game, you know, because I think we know what Baltimore is likely to want to do, which is, you know, Derrick Henry and Lamar and the ground. And the Bills might feel like, you know, let's see, you know, we'll get into a you-know-what measuring contest with you on how tough we are, right? Like, you're going to run it, we're going to run it. We can play that game. I'm not predicting that is where it will end up, but it could. And so, hopefully if the pass defense is there to be exploited, they handle it the same way as they did against Jacksonville. Because I really wondered. I mean, I think I said it. I think it was pretty evident that I was wondering if it would take them getting in a hole, kind of really like it did in week one. Mm-hmm. It took them being down by 14 points to start throwing it, and they started moving the ball and scored and took the game over and managed to get that game into the garage. This Jacksonville game, game just started. It's just throw. Crooked score, it's over. If the matchup dictates same, then I'm going to want to do the same. You know, what was really, to me, the best thing about Monday night is the realization, again, if maybe you didn't doubt this at all, that the Bills still have that fastball and will lean on it when they feel like this is the path of least resistance. This is our best path to win this game, so let's do this. And Allen rewarded them by taking impeccable care of the ball. Again, like he just said, it helps a lot when you don't get touched, and he barely did.
That seems right. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We have Kurt with us now. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doug, it's an honor to be on your show. I listen all the time.
Thank you.
That's flattering. Thank you.
So I just wanted to a couple of things, get your opinion. One, I think the Colin Allen overrated as he has in the past. I think that was a little bit skewed by having Diggs. I think, I don't know, there's maybe 4 or 5 seconds, if I'm right, that you kind of get in the pocket, right, guys?
Not even, but yeah.
I mean, right. So if Diggs is throwing his tantrums in the locker room, if, hypothetically, it looked like Allen was just always having to look at him first. And, I mean, that's valuable, valuable time off the clock when you're talking 4 or 5 seconds. It looks like now that Allen's, number one, he's grown to protect the ball. which is great. He's sliding, which is great. He's still able to run. They're letting him run, but he's not having, he don't need to prove himself anymore. So that's all great that he's tuned all that up. And now it seems like this year we're going to have guys just getting 5-6 grabs a game, 50, 60 yards, and it's just going to be spread out across the whole offense. And I think that, I know a lot of people were kind of worried about the Jaguars game, but I wasn't at all because of watching them, obviously after the first week of them doing them, the old stuff that they did, got down and they came back. But now with that, like this week was just, I knew they were going to kill them. I don't know why, but they look more confident. What do you guys think about what you've seen from them so far with it?
I think they look like the best team in the league, but it's 3 weeks. I mean, I think really you've got a big 3 week chunk coming up here against teams that you should expect to have to be dealing with in some form or another at the end, whether that's actual playoff matchups or you're just battling them for seeds. You could be battling the Jets for the division even. I mean, they're just 2-1. So just a game back of you with your perfect record. So this next 3 weeks, like I feel a little bit like, you know, you want to see how each matchup goes, and maybe especially against the Jets because you're going to have them again later in the year. But I feel like if the Bills go 2-1 through these next three, we're going to be feeling like they're in great shape. I mean, what does that even say? I mean, they'd be 5-1 with wins over already.
Miami
some combination
away.
Miami away, Jacksonville here. And then, you know, two of the three of Houston, Baltimore, and the Jets. I said those in the wrong order. All the way. I mean, that would be, you'd be feeling like they're in the driver's seat for the conference, I think.
Except for Kansas City. What is Kansas City doing over their next three games?
Right.
You know, like, you
right.
can go 5-1 and be a game back.
Yeah, they could.
I just, you know, I don't disagree with any, I've said the same things, you know, some of the same things. Like, Bulldogs overall on how they look. How they look compared to the rest of the league. It's just too early to extrapolate too much from it. I was going to save this until 5:00. All right? Just keep this in mind. Maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't. The Bills just won a week 3 game by 37 points. And everybody's in love with how they did it. You want them to, the fans want them to win out in the argument about Diggs. You want them to win, but you also want them to look like they were right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the perfect game. You're scoring 47 points, and you're throwing it to everybody. Who was it? 10 receivers? It was 10
yes.
different receivers.
Yes.
What a dream. Last year in week 3, the Bills beat Washington 37-3. Stephon Diggs had 8 for 110. You know how many Bills caught passes in that game? 10. Like, you think back 1 year, early in the season, right? That's where we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Bills did the same thing to Washington. And Diggs had 110 yards receiving on 8 catches. 9 other Bills also caught passes. So you had both. You had the alpha who, mm-hmm. oh, it's nice to have guys who don't need stats. I guess last year you had a guy that needed stats that you went to the playoffs with every year, by the way. And it worked out fine, and you still got 9 other receivers' completions that apparently didn't care about stats. So that's what happened 1 year ago. Then you got to, you know, the second half of the season, and Diggs was relegated to a meaningless role almost. I mean, just way down. And some of that was intentional. Some of that was, you know, maybe himself or the conflict that was apparently brewing, like whatever. And your offense wasn't as efficient. They ran the ball more. They still had different receivers, but you didn't have the one guy. And that's what we love now. But I don't know. Like, there's still a lot to be written. And so I, again, because I feel like when anybody listens to me talk like this, they think I'm being critical or something. Like, it's not that they're not playing great. It's not, it's going perfectly. and they've had injuries, and it's still going perfectly.
There's just so long.
It's just so early.
Right. That Washington game you reference, where 10 guys caught balls, was the week before the Miami game, which got them to 3-1. They blew out Miami, 48-20. 8 people caught passes in that game. Diggs had a big game, 6 for 120, but 7 other people caught passes. And then the wobbling started. It's like it's not a perfect record, but they were 3-1. And then everything from there kind of was a struggle. They got the London game and the injuries. You barely beat the Giants. You lose at New England. You barely beat Tampa. Lose to Cincinnati. You know the deal. And how tumultuous last season felt by the time we got to Thanksgiving and the overtime loss in Philadelphia, and they're 6-6, and oh my God, right? It doesn't take much. You just, that's why, I'm saying they look like the best team in the league, but it's only 3 weeks. That's why this next block of games is so important here for this. And why I said if they can manage 2-1 through these next 3, I mean, of course, it'd be great if they could get all 3, but I mean, I would sign in blood right now for 2-1 out of these next 3 games. All on the road, 2 in prime time, good opponents. Like you get to there, I think you're going to be feeling like, okay, I'm on track, and maybe if I get a lull, I've already built up enough that I'm in good enough shape here. But you got to do it first. So you can look like the best team in the league right now. That's why I'm not saying they are the best team in the league. They look like the best. I don't think anybody who knows who the best team in the league is right now.
The only, or almost the only, worthwhile conclusion to draw on this whole, as you've called it all summer, experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't start until January. It just really can't. If they miss the playoffs, which seems much less likely now than before it started, that's especially now a disaster, right? So let's rule that out. Let's mm-hmm. say they make the playoffs, and then it's all going to come to the surface. It's going to be, all right, well, it's great that you have all these different guys. What does that mean against the Chiefs or whoever else you might, even the Steelers? Like, what does that mean against teams that have studied you all season? And if your guy is only kind of a B-level guy, as opposed to what Diggs was, who didn't at all smash in the playoffs, I recognize that.
Right.
But the Bills also lost, right? Coincidence? So you're going to have to get that then, or else what was it for?
Yeah, you should trust that, yes, Allen has had great success against teams that want to play man defense. And he did, again, until Jacksonville pivoted, and then he just killed their zone defense too. They didn't have the dudes to do it, right? If you run into a team in January that's won 12 games and their defense is good, and I'm going to trust that they have better players than Jacksonville had on Monday night, if they want to go that route. And so I don't even know yet. Like, of course, it's encouraging that they found their way to it without even being dragged, right? The passing game, I mean, and that it worked. But that's where who you played comes into it. And once you are playing teams that are of a higher caliber and have better dudes out there on those islands, if they choose to do that, can I win? Can I get the separation that I got, against Jacksonville? Because you watch the Bills' corners, Douglas and Benford specifically. They're just swallowing talented receivers up whole on the outside. There are guys in the league that can do that. Jacksonville, I don't think, was one of those teams. So it fed right into what the Bills wanted to do, and it worked perfectly. But there's no guarantee that, to me, it's just not a given that this is all going to work when you get to, like you said, when you get to January. Everything ratchets up. You're playing better teams. You got better pass rush. You're not going to be in a protective cocoon back there like Allen was on Monday night. Like, so everything just sort of, it just gets harder.
Unless they're too good for the league, then it'll all be fine.
In which case, like, that would be kind of incredible, I think.
Yeah, like, that's pretty rare. Kansas City hasn't been too good for the league, but they've won 3 times. Yeah. So it just doesn't matter yet. It's going as well as it could. It's great to talk about, but it's just not the time for this was good, this was bad. I mean, it's too early for that. 803-0550, Sal at 4, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Oh, I was so excited, so proud of myself. It's 9 Bills who caught passes in last year's Week 3 win over Washington, not 10. 9, not 10. And I can't even tell you that. I can't even make the excuse that somebody got a target but didn't catch the pass.
I almost did that looking at the Miami box score the following week because there was someone on the bottom there had a zero next to the reception's name but must have gotten a target, so they were listed there.
Can you rip off the nine guys who caught a pass last year in week three? This week in week three, there was 10. Clearly, the Bills are spreading the ball around more.
Well, I did just look at that Miami box score, so it's probably not that different than the week prior in Washington.
I think you can get it in one shot.
Well, so Diggs, obviously, I will. I don't know if I want to rush to Davis. He did have some goose egg weeks, right? So, Diggs, Kincaid, Cook, Knox. I'll say Davis.
35-yard touchdown.
Okay.
Early in that game.
Thank you.
Down the left.
Is that how many guys have I said? Five guys? So I need four more guys. Who are some more Bills players? See, this is where looking
okay.
Looking at the Miami box is messing with me because I'm trying to think of who was the guy at the bottom with the zero, but like that shouldn't pertain to the week before. So Shakir.
Yep.
Okay. I think he might have had a zero against Miami, which is why I was hesitant to mention him, but it's not the same game, idiot.
In this Washington game, he popped for 1 for 5. You're not going to start forgetting the guys you've mentioned. Maybe.
What's that?
Now you might start to ask yourself, I already say?
Yes, right. Quentin Morris.
No.
Okay.
I'm out. Diggs had 8. Hardy, Kincaid, Sherfield, and Cook had 2.
Totally.
Murray, Knox, Shakir, and Davis had 1.
Totally forgot about Hardy and Sherfield existing.
So it's 9, not 10. Did you?
I kind of did, yeah.
Hardy is in Baltimore.
I really was. Yes, I saw him maybe returning a punt.
I think he
already
returns kicks, yeah.
Yeah, I was literally sitting here going, who were the other Bills receivers last year? And after Shakir and, you know, obviously Davis and Diggs. I could not think of Hardy and Sherfield. And I did just look at the Miami box score, and they were in it.
They were.
Awesome. Awesome brain power.
Damian Harris played in that game but did not get a target or a catch.
Mm.
Tough to get a catch when you don't get a target.
That's too bad.
Josh Allen wins the Offensive Player of the Week award in the AFC. It is his 13th time winning this award, and that is the most ever. The award doesn't go back forever. I grew up in simpler times, so did Bulldog, where you didn't need to name conference players of the week, including for special teams every week. I mean, it just would have seemed excessive and crazy to do that.
Yeah.
And somehow we got by. But now, well, we have way more awards.
Right.
And so, still cool.
Yeah.
Cook won last week.
Rousseau won Defensive Player of the Week in Week 1.
Allen maybe should have won in Week 1, but Mixon won.
Right.
Because he had 34-yard runs.
Right, and I said, for the first time ever, I kind of care at least a little, because if you're interested in Allen being the MVP, getting that award, it can't hurt. It doesn't guarantee anything. Obviously, he's won it a bunch and has yet to win an MVP. I read today that the Allen, how many did you say that is now? 13 for
mm-hmm.
him?
Mm-hmm.
Jackson and Mahomes each have 10.
Oh.
Since they've been in the league. And Mahomes has a whole extra season, although he really didn't start playing until the same year Josh did, but nonetheless.
Right. Mahomes started one game his rookie year, and Allen started week 2
right
in his rookie year. So they're almost
equal the same. Yeah.
for starts, I would guess, from that. Sal Capaccio, the latest on injuries and more from the Bills. That'll be next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.